Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Alan and Kafam. On tonight's program, we have Marco, Merlo and Angelo from Italian and Gay, a social and support group for gay men of Italian background. So what do they do when a bunch of gay Italian men get together? Swap recipes for pasta sauces? We think not. So please stay with us for the next hour here on Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
This is Orange Ribbon with Alan and Kafam tonight. Hello, Kafam. Good to see you.
Hello, Alan. This is the Italian night tonight.
It's the Italian night, and we don't have a French lesbian with us.
No. lesbian is Aline, who's normally host the show with us, but she's sick, taken ill today.
Poor Aline is sick, and Hugh has just come out of hospital today as well, so I decided I better come in and help you out.
Yes, thank you. And, of course, it's Italian night, but, you know, this weekend is actually the Greek, it's Easter. So happy Easter, and it's Gelos Basta. I think that's how you say it in Greek.
I can't correct you.
Happy Easter. Now, we have with us Merlo, Marco, and Angelo. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Good evening.
And you're from the Italian and Gay.
Yes, we're from I Ragazzi, the Italian and Gay group here in Melbourne.
How do you say that again?
I Ragazzi. Which means the boys.
The boys.
I like that. I Ragazzi.
Now, I'm just curious, Italian and, you know, why do you need an Italian and Gay group when there are so many other groups around?
Well, I think because the Italian culture has been ingrained into us so strongly, you know, from such an early age, that we still want to celebrate it as adults, and there's nowhere else really that we can celebrate it in a gay context aside from this group, so...
Is a similar feeling for you guys?
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of? So yeah. What's more behind that sort of?
I just like having a group in Italian and Gay to show Italian people that there is a lot of gay people in our society that are Italian.
And there's a lot of hot young Italian boys in the group too, so that's, you know, another reason that Merlo and Angelo like the group.
Oh, right. Well,
right. You know, because as a gay Asian man, I come across a lot of people saying to us, to me and to a lot of my friends, saying, not into Asian guys. So we're sort of marginalized, you know. But for Italian men, it's like, Italian men are hot. And what's it like to feel that way, you know, to be put on a pedestal?
You mean you want to know what it feels like?
Yeah, I want to know what it feels like to be on the other side of the fence.
Well, first of all, yes, you're right, we are hot. Well, I don't know. What?
Because when people say Italian, go, ooh, Italian, oh my God, ooh la la.
Hot.
Mamma mia.
But isn't it funny, though, you used the example, Kafam, of a lot of Asians tend to be marginalised because there was this image. And yet there's a totally different thing about Italians and, dare I say it, with Greek guys as well, for some reason or other.
I think that maybe 30 years ago it was a very different scenario, because talking to our parents, they tell us the stories about when they just migrated, you know, after the war, that they were very heavily marginalised. And it could be that, you know, with the passing of time, that the Italians have been more accepted.
For the tomato sauce?
For the tomato sauce and for various other things that we offer. and perhaps, you know, because the Asians have immigrated a little bit later, perhaps it will take a bit more time for that marginalisation to be overcome.
I think maybe. That's changed. I mean, showing my age a little bit, but going back in the year of the 60s and so on, where, you know, Italian fruit shops and Greek fish and chip shops, and to an extent they were treated as outsiders by Australians in that generation.
Yes.
But as you say, things have moved on and they're just an accepted part of society, and I guess as will the Chinese and others.
I think it's a matter of time.
Yeah.
So... By the time I'll be a bit too off the market by then.
Anyway,
but for me, being a Chinese it plays a big role in my identity. What does being Italian personally mean to you? What about you, Angelo?
Well, I suppose I suppose it's part of your, well, as you said, identity. I think it's you're growing up.
Well, let's put it another way. When you were growing up as a boy, how did you feel different at all, or made to feel different when you're in school, for example?
I mean, definitely in school. I remember, especially primary school. I mean, you know, recalling being called names, you know, Walk and whatnot, even.
And what decade was that?
Well, I suppose the 80s.
Yeah, it's funny. It still happened in the 80s.
Oh, absolutely. I think the big thing, I suppose it's like any sort of immigrants, like I think one of the big things that changed in the 80s was the wogs out of work, and all of a sudden, see, like the word wog was a derogatory term, and then all of a sudden with wogs out of work, it became like...
Well, you adopted the word. I mean, in the same, the gay community in a different way has adopted that with poofters and so on as well, where we're not offended by it anymore, whereas 20 years ago or so, that was the case. But yes, I have to say, remembering that generation of the wogs out of work programs, the events that were put on, at the time, I wondered whether other Italians would be offended by that, yet apparently not, even then. I'm talking about then. Mm. You don't believe they were?
No, well, I think that the wogs out of work, that's where the change occurred, and we, you know, as you said, look, with words, you've taken it on as yours for yourself. And
you keep saying walk out of work, because I'm not getting it.
You missed.
Walk out of work.
There was a play. Now, what was it? A stage show or something, rather, wasn't it? It was a stage show.
Pretty much
it was a comedy.
There was a comedy
Marco
stage.
Marco is last year, just
I
as last as I am.
I wasn't born yet.
There was a comedy stage show, for your benefit, I think it was in the mid-80s, called Wogs Out of Work, put on by some local Italian actors, who are well-known these days, around town, who... put on this play, this stage entertainment comedy thing called Wogs Out of Work.
And that sort of broke the boundaries and, you know, minimised the boundary.
I think when you claim things like words, which were derogatory, for example, as your own, and you take them on board and you celebrate who you are and your culture, then, yeah, things can change. I mean, I think that was pretty groundbreaking at the time.
What about you, Merle? Were there any words that offended you when you were at school? Or
not at all.
Nothing at all.
If I'm a poof, I'm gay, who cares?
Good on you.
I'm happy.
And just an interesting, you know, observation about Merle, because when he first came in, he came in this attire with this veil. What do you call it?
It's just my work outfit.
Your work outfit. You know, you've got a Muslim, I don't know, I think, would you call it Muslim veil?
Oh, probably Muslim, yeah.
Yeah, and you call yourself, what do you call it?
I'm a gender illusionist. Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, it's like an androgynist. I just can wear female and male clothes, and I don't wear makeup, but I look feminine, and people say you're a woman or you're a man, and that's up to them.
Well, I was trying to work out whether you were a priest or a nun when you walked into the studio earlier tonight.
And you have got two wonderful glittery earrings on you.
Yes, I have. I wear a bit of bling.
A bit of bling. Yeah. Now, a little bit more about the Italian and gay group. What do you guys do? What sort of things do you get?
Well, we run social events and to try to get a lot of gay Italians to sort of come out and mingle. Because there's a lot of young Italian guys that are very scared to come out.
Even at this stage? At this age?
Because it's very hard to come out in the Italian community, because straight away, the minute you come out, the family just... you're gone.
But given the earlier discussion we had about the generation or so ago and the adapting to the Australian community and Australian society in general, I would have thought that the majority of Italian gays today would be second or third, possibly even fourth, but certainly second or third generation Australians. Certainly there would be some first generations, presumably, because there'll be obviously still migrations occurring. But wouldn't that make it easier, or not necessarily so, simply because of an Italian background?
Not necessarily so. One of the things that that we have to remember is that, well, for me personally, it was my parents who came over from Italy. I think it's the same for Merlo and Angela. It was your parents who moved to Australia.
That was the first generation?
They were the first generation. So when they came here, they had nothing. They were coming to a foreign country where they had no concept of the language, nothing. The only thing that they had was their culture. And so that's what they held on to for dear life. They held on to that culture, which they had in Italy 50 years ago. And they passed that culture on to their children.
But then that culture becomes static. because I guess we've interviewed a number of people on this program over the years where the parents have hung on to that culture and that era that they came from,
exactly,
only to go back to the home country, wherever that may be, 10, 20, 30 years later, and find that the world's moved on and what they remember is not there anymore, well, and that, the whole culture has changed.
Well, that's right, they get sort of stuck in a time warp.
That's right.
Of course, meanwhile, in Europe or wherever, things have moved on. And however, I mean, also, I should say, personally, I didn't have any too much trouble sort of with coming out and being gay, so I suppose it depends on your personal experience. It's a bit different.
I'm just curious, for your parents to be stuck in a time warp, must be quite lonely. Is it like they have other Italians too?
They have others. They have
community.
People from the same village or from the same region of Italy, and so there's whole communities. They've got their own little, almost little Italy.
So for Italians in Italy, if they want to experience true traditional Italian culture, they should come to Melbourne to witness.
Well, if they want to experience the Italian culture from 50 years ago, then yes, they should come to Melbourne. If they want to experience modern Italian, they should go there because it's not here.
Let's take a little break. This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Kafum and Alan tonight, and we're speaking Italian.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon with Kafam and Alan, and we're speaking to Angelo, Marco and Merlo from the Italian gay group I Ragazzi. We've got some messages?
Yes, we have got some messages for the boys. And I'm hoping you would read them out.
Oh, you actually
my mouse is not working.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. Well, I can't find it now. Where are we? Oh, go up to this one here. Yes, can I make a suggestion? Anyone who criticised someone? We don't quite understand what that one's coming at, from Brian from Collingwood. Who criticised someone else needs to have a huge look at themselves before they can have a go. I'm not... Sorry, Brian, but don't quite understand what you're referring to there on that one. Adrian is co-hosting with Anthony Kalia tomorrow morning for breakfast. So Anthony Kalia fans. From Elvira and family. We've had
Comare Elvira and family.
Comare.
Comare.
What's that?
Comare. It's like when you get christened, it's the godmother.
Oh. So do you know these people?
Oh, yes.
She's my godmother.
Oh, she's your godmother.
And to our beautiful Italian boys, go for it and wave the Italian rainbow flag for the Italian-Australian queer community. Thanks for those messages.
And there's one more message specifically for me from Sharif Das. It says that I'm being impolite and I talked down to my guests. I really apologise for doing that because I don't mean to.
Well, I think we can accept that apology. we think you've been lovely.
Thank you.
You can talk down to me. Anytime.
Let's move on.
Now I was looking for information to do for the show, and I was searching, looking for on the internet, as you do. And then, now let's promote or shatter some of the things we associate with Italians. Now, who wants to go first?
Shattering what?
Oh, the illusion that, everything that's associated with Italians.
Like hairy chest.
Do you all love tomatoes?
Do chickens have beaks?
Yeah, it's a silly question.
I mean,
it's just yes.
Do you know any Italians who don't like tomatoes?
Are they Italian?
Yeah, that's the question we have to ask.
So you'll find it, strange that if an Italian doesn't like tomatoes.
It'd be very unusual.
Alien, completely.
I like tomatoes, but I love bananas.
What about the next one? Is your mama's food the only one you like?
I have to say yes.
I like my nonna's food as well, though.
I like my mum's food.
Yeah.
What about you?
I love any food. Country town.
But what about nonna's food? Is it quite different from mama's food?
Well, they're both from the same village. I guess Nonna's got another 30 years of experience.
They generally pass down the recipes, though.
Exactly.
But would be mama's touch would be a bit different?
Well, my mum is, she's, developed her skills much further, so she's a really great cook.
She's gone further from Nonna.
Further from Nonna.
And what about, do you say, Alan, go ahead.
No, you go on.
Yeah, well, do you use the expression mamma mia? Because I thought that was a bit strange, because I never heard it uttered.
Well,
that's a pretty soft term.
Mamma mia.
I personally use much stronger terms.
What are some of the stronger terms?
I don't think I can tell you.
No.
For fear of offending.
But is it a term of abuse or...
Just
or can be.
It depends how you use it.
It depends how you use it.
What if someone cuts right in front of you in a car? What would you say in Italian?
Can we say it in Italian?
It's generally vaffanculo.
Yeah, vaffanculo, you'd say, which
yeah, is not very nice. Not very nice.
Vaffanculo.
Yeah. We were talking about tomatoes, and interestingly enough, my partner not very keen on tomatoes, and I like to talk a lot with tomatoes, unfortunately, but. Do either of you guys cook, or any of you guys cook at all? I mean, what's a good tomato sauce recipe? Is there a simple one? I know I'm throwing you
throwing something. Tomato sauce. Well,
because I remember interviewing somebody many years ago on Joy on another program I used to do, and they had this rather complicated recipe where the whole family used to chip in. The father used to grow huge volumes of tomatoes in their backyard, and they would that was a big family thing. The whole group came together with buckets and buckets of tomatoes, and they went through this whole process over a weekend and made this complicated process and made jars and jars and jars.
It's pretty
and jars.
Stock standard.
That's a traditional, it's not that
traditional.
Yeah.
So you would all have been through that process?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And is it compulsory if you don't feel like doing it?
Generally, they yeah, say you're going to come and do the tomato sauce. We go, yeah, okay, we'll be there.
And if you don't.
I generally don't.
You don't refuse.
I'm gay.
It's not really an option. Although we now we don't do that anymore. We just get the good old puree, Italian puree.
A lot of people.
Somebody's got
Marco is slapping
his hands.
It's perfectly good.
You don't like the supermarket version?
Well, I don't believe in it.
It's
myself.
Italian. It's from Italy.
Well,
they do grow great tomatoes in Italy.
So, what's the main ingredient? Obviously, tomatoes. But I mean, what are the other things that you would normally throw in? Onions,
oregano, basil, depends on what
garlic.
Sort of, yeah, a bit of garlic.
And I have seen in a recipe in a cookbook called bouquet garni. Is that an Italian term or is it a French term? Bouquet garni.
Isn't that a kind of herb?
Yeah, it's a mixture of herbs, you know.
I think that's French, though.
Yeah, I think it's French. Yeah, getting mixed up there.
And what about, you know, do you know what type of cheeses are in cannelloni?
Cannelloni or cannoli?
Oh, it says a cannoli.
So wow. Cannoli, so that's the sweet. Cannoli. So we're talking about these. If it's a Sicilian one, it'd be the ricotta cheese.
There's also mascarpone cheese.
Mascarpone, yeah.
It's mascarpone.
That's in tiramisu.
I've never used mascarpone, which means I guess I haven't made tiramisu. And I didn't realise mascarpone is in tiramisu. Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
usually.
What about sweets? Now, somebody touched on sweets there a minute ago. What's a typical Italian sweet?
I think it varies from region to region. Like the...
What does your mum make?
Well, my mum's from near Naples, and so they do the cannoli, but not with the ricotta like the Sicilians. She does it with a custard. I guess another Napolitano one would be the sfogliatelle, which...
What's that one?
So that's like a crunchy pastry shell, again filled with ricotta cheese and candied fruit.
Candied
Very
fruit.
Nice. It's not the lightest thing to have, but it's pretty good.
And another thing that I'm really curious about is, who is also known as Blue Eyes?
Sinatra.
Sinatra, I would have thought.
Yeah, thanks, Sinatra.
And
Sinatra.
Do you refer to him as a blue eye in Italian language?
I don't think so.
No.
What's blue eyes in Italian language?
Blue eyes. Occhi azzurri, I guess.
Sounds like a drink.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cocktail.
Cocktail.
I think we'll move on. Okay, let's take a break. This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Kafam and Alan, and it's just after 7:30.
Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon with Kafam and Alan, and we are speaking to the guys from the Italian Gay Group, Angelo, Marco and Merlo.
And the song we just heard, tell us a bit about that, because you brought the music today.
So that was Luna Mezzomare.
It's a bit of a party tune, really. I felt like I was at a wedding.
Is that a song that's been played a lot at weddings?
Yes, just a little bit.
Never
too much.
Like I said, it goes back to the point I made earlier about our parents holding on to the Italian culture from 50 years ago. And that song's a good example of that, I think, because they still listen to music like this.
And that raised an interesting question, because the time warp thing applies to music as well within your families that have migrated
Absolutely.
Here. So they don't keep up to date with whatever the current music is in Italy.
I think all the great Italian music probably, you know, 60s,
well, I mean, what better music than what we just listened to, in all honesty? I mean,
that's a very Italian, you know, thing to say.
You know,
I love it.
I don't think you can get much better than that.
Now, you have brought along certain questions that you reckon that will ring through with a lot of Italians. And the last segment that we did, you know, and there's a question I got from internet, you didn't relate as well to those ones.
Not so much. A couple of them, but...
A couple of them. What about this one? The first one goes, do your parents have chickens in the backyard?
Yes. Yes. Well, my dad does.
My dad does.
And what about you?
We just have a concrete jungle. We don't have a yard.
It'd be easier to clean the chicken shit up afterwards, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And what about this one? Do you still make tomato sauce in the backyard?
Yes.
But in the backyard?
Yeah, why in the backyard? Why not in the kitchen?
I suppose we
Well, you need space.
You need big drums to boil it in.
Because you're making big quantities. It's not like you're making a little 1 litre pot of stuff.
Yes, we're talking trailer loads.
20 cases or 40 cases of tomatoes.
20 cases. And how long does it take?
Sometimes it takes a whole weekend.
It's 2 days.
2 days.
And do the guests stay overnight to help out?
Well, it's generally a family thing.
Yeah, it's generally a family thing.
Everyone come back and camp back at home.
Or they come back the next day.
The next day.
Well, generally they live pretty close anyway, you know.
I live next door to mine, so it's not far enough. I'm going to jump over the fence.
Why? We're digressing, but why do you opt to live next door? I thought you'd try to get away. Most people try to get away.
No, it's handy. Yeah, your parents come. Italians always stick close to their family. You generally find if they're not next door, they're around the corner or the suburb next door.
That apply to you, the other two?
You're quite relatively close. I mean, I still live at home, but my brother lives. And my sister just live around the corner as well. So, yeah, seems to apply.
Well, there you go. What have we got?
What about, have you ever done the pig? Because this really throws me.
It threw me.
Well, we're saying Merlo's done a few spit roasts, apparently. But I think the question, what we mean is, have you ever killed the pig to make the salami?
Oh, so you make the pasta sauce at the tomato pasta sauce at home, and you kill a pig to make salami at home.
Yes.
And have you ever?
Well,
done
I can
a pig?
Say that I've done it many
times.
Or we've
got a pig from. Yeah, we always know someone who can grow a pig, kill a pig, and then so we can make salamis.
There's a lot of traditional things they make. It's generally the pork, the pig, the sausages, the tomatoes, the olives,
the oil,
eggplants, the oil. And the peppers, there's a traditional part of the year, and they just make them all the time, year round.
So many weekends are taken up in making all these yummies.
Yeah.
All food orientated.
And eating all the good stuff.
And eating them, too.
And you have done a pig, so you have personally killed a pig before.
Well, I didn't kill her, that was Dad's job. My job was to hold the bucket to drain the blood, so that we could make the black pudding.
That's something I cannot... I mean, sorry, killing animals is one thing, because I come from a farming background and we used to do that. But the blood and black pudding is what really turns me off.
It's part of the culture.
And what's involved in this black pudding? Because I'm curious about how you cook
blood.
It.
Blood.
Yeah, I know blood, what do you call, coagulated blood. And then how do you...
Essentially, yes.
Oh, my God, you're about to faint.
I'm about to faint.
Merlo.
I'm about to throw up.
We better get a medical person
no,
in here.
But so do you cook in the sauce or... Because I'm really curious because I love...
I have to tell you, I think I blocked it out. I think I blocked out the memories. The last thing I remember is holding the jug there while the pig bled into it. More than that. I can call my dad.
Good face.
No, don't bother. I think we'll give that one a miss.
Oh, because the Chinese do eat a lot of coagulated. In Taiwan, especially Taiwan, they have this pig's blood in rice cake and then they roast it over charcoal. It's so delicious.
Can we... here's another question that's come in from somebody. Do you Italian guys make the wine and pork traditionally, whatever traditionally means?
Well, I don't think there's much more traditional than what we've, killing it yourself and...
But that's one part of it. Then there's the cooking. I mean, do you do it on a spit roast or how's
well,
it?
Well, no, you I think
you
generally
hang the sausages up gently.
You make sausages out of the legs.
Oh, right.
Certain parts you make certain things out of.
Oh, okay. What about making your own wine?
Yes,
in the summer.
There's lots of homemade wine here around.
I'm sure there is.
Some ones make grappa as well, so.
That's right.
You know, I see all these commercials on TV about, you know, authentic pasta sauces. Aren't they real authentic, you know?
No.
It's a commercial.
I know,
it's
I'm all for it.
Let's take a break, but just before we do, Brian from Collingwood clarified what he was saying. Anyone who wants to criticise other people's race, they need to look at themselves before criticising other races.
So well said, Brian.
Just clarifying that. This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Kafam and Alan.
Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon with Alan and Kafam, and that's Patricio. Patricio, is that right?
Patricio.
That was very James Bond-like.
L'Italiano, I think.
He's got that little crooner style, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned while we're off air about this group, a support group you guys are starting. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah. So earlier we mentioned that we like to do social stuff, dinners, coffees, and events like that. But another aspect of the group, which we're trying to get going now, and it's being coordinated by Michael, who's not here tonight, is the support side of it. So the idea is that the guys can get together and talk about any issues that they might have, be it coming out, being married and gay, sexual abuse, anything that they really need to get off their chests in a confidential environment. And then if the need arises with any of these guys for more professional advice, be it legal counselling, a psychologist, anything like that, then we'll refer them to the relevant people to get.
Now, you mentioned married guys, yes, which raises an interesting question. Given the earlier discussion that we had about still difficult for Italian guys to come out, do you believe a significant percentage of gay Italian guys still go through the sham marriage? Well, sham might be the wrong word, but go through the marriage process simply to keep the family happy?
We know they do. There's some in our group who have, and there's others who have been contacting our group who are still married and don't know how to get out of it.
And if they are interested to contact you guys or in the group, do you have the information for them?
Well, the easiest way, I think, would be to send us an email through at our email address. Should we give that now?
Yes, of course.
Yep. So the email is i_ragazzi@hotmail.com. That would probably be the best way to get in contact us.
Can you say that again?
i_ragazzi@hotmail.com.
Angela just pointed out there was a double.
So it's i_ragazzi13@hotmail.com. The number
i_ragazzi13@hotmail.com.
Correct.
Now, moving on to what the next thing we have on is battesimo. It sounds like a pastry. What is that?
Battesimo.
Oh, a kind of food or dessert.
Baptism of sorts.
It's a baptism of sorts. Probably like no other baptism you would have been to.
Tell us about it. Line.
I think it's our next main event, event. And it's going to be held on June 21.
June 21st at Temple Bar. So it's, well, we're saying it can be like a baptism for our group, something to introduce us to the world, to all the other multicultural groups, and to whoever's interested in coming and seeing a bit of what we're about. So there'll be the June 21st at Temple Bar. It's $28 per head for a three-course meal and a fantastic show.
Booking, I think it's easiest just to book via Temple Bar.
Yep. You can book via the Temple Bar website, which is www.templebarmelbourne.com.au.
Yep.
and you can also give Temple Bar a call and book your tickets.
And who will be performing?
So, well, our gender illusionist.
Our gender illusionist who's sitting there in their priest/nun outfit.
And you actually sing as well.
I actually sing. I don't mind.
You don't mind?
No.
And we're digressing, but were you singing from a young age?
I actually used to sing professionally years ago as a guy, and just recently I became a gender illusionist and perform as a female impersonator.
But you still, in singing, you still use your natural male voice, or do you go falsetto?
My voice is quite high. I sing songs in my range. I don't sing crazy female songs. I sing, like, a restricted sort of vocal female range.
Well, anyway, we can get to hear that at this event in June. You perhaps should give us another reminder late next month, and we can give our listeners a reminder.
No worries.
And do you guys have a website for the Italian Gay?
Is there one coming, even not one?
We're working on one at the moment. I, off the top of my head, can't actually remember the web address.
We do, Angelo. It's in the process of being set up. But, yeah, you can have a look. It's the web address is Iragazzi, which is just one word, so Iragazzi .weebly, which is weebly.com.
weebly.
Exactly.
No, unusual. Now, again, a little bit of history. It sounds like you're going through a bit of rejuvenation at the moment in terms of the group, but the group has been around for a number of years, as far as I recall. Certainly I've spoken to various members of the group in years gone by. Do you know when it was first formed?
I personally, I'm not sure when the Italian group was first formed.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Italian and Gay would have been formed many years ago.
I would say many years ago.
Maybe this is where the distinction needs to be drawn. Iragazzi is actually a newer group, or did that sort of follow on?
I think it sort of, yeah, it followed on from
the original Italian and Gay.
Italian and Gay group.
Ah, I thought they were one and the same, but...
So this is different. Iragazzi is being born, it's a new group.
Well, I think the best way to describe it would be like a rejuvenated or resurrected form of the previous group.
Hence your event in June.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
And have you guys decided on a menu yet?
Yes, I believe we have. I think the first course is a bruschetta.
Mm-hmm.
The mains, I think, is a choice of three types of pasta. So there'll be a carbonara, Toscana, and pollo, maybe. And then, of course, it's not a baptism without the
chicken.
Baptism cake.
Chicken.
Chicken.
Polo, I do know that much.
I mean, I'm aware of the... I forgot, everyone is aware of the carbonara. What was that one, the second one you mentioned?
I can't... Toscana.
Yeah, what's that one? That sounds really interesting.
From Tuscany. So I think it's just seasonal vegetables in a... Is it a rosé sauce? I'll have to check.
So,
well, I'm from the south, so I can excuse myself for not knowing.
Oh, okay. and what about pastas? Just sort of in general, is there a preference for the type of pasta that would be used, as in tagliatelle or whatever, or the various other?
I think it depends on the sauce, really.
Yeah, I suppose certain dishes is a traditional type of pasta you'd use for different types.
Like penne with a carbonara sauce would just be. I'm thinking.
Yes, I can't imagine.
Is it sacrilegious?
I think most. Yeah,
almost. It'd be frowned upon. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Merlo looks like he's got something to say.
I don't care, as long as it's tasty. Who knows? It's all in the sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of like using a spoon, frowned upon as well.
Yeah.
What about you know the girls' group, Archie and Lesbica? Do you guys mingle with them much?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
We do. The girls have been fantastic in encouraging us and supporting us. They are just a great group. They've given us lots of advice. So they're going to be having their annual dance on the 16th of May, and we always go to that. It's always a fantastic night. But socially, we mingle with the girls quite a bit.
And it's open to everyone as well, the 16th of May.
The 16th of May is open to everyone as well.
I guess
I don't know if there's tickets left because it's very popular.
Well, we'll be talking a little bit more about that, I think, aren't we ourselves?
On the 13th of May.
Yep. 6th or the 13th. I think we're talking a little bit more about that as well. So, but just in wrapping up very, very quickly, coming out processes for each of you very, very, very quickly. I mean, was it big drama? Merlo, you sort of said there was...
Mine's still a drama.
Still a drama.
I don't get invited to weddings, don't get invited to parties. My parents don't accept any of my partners, but that's fine.
And you live right next door. Do you talk to each other?
I do. I talk to my parents. They've met my partner, but just a quick wave, and that's about it.
What about the other two of you?
Well, I didn't come out. My mum went through my stuff and found some incriminating things, which outed me for her. Threatened to have a heart attack, but then... got over it, and it's not really spoken about.
So they can invoke heart attack. It's an Italian talent, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a art that they perfect over many years.
What about you, Angelo?
Yeah, no, it's been... I mean, I'm out to...
You said it's very easy for you.
Not easy, but, you know, it's not difficult anyway. I think my parents are pretty progressive. And
But that yeah. But it seems to me that Italian parents, from what you guys are saying and what I've heard elsewhere... most of them are still pretty traditional, and it's a bit of a shock to the system. And your example is still not
the
best.
Your whole family.
Yeah, and so do parents with the other two of you. Do parents sort of try to keep it quiet amongst the rest of the family, or you're pretty much...
Well, my mum's the only one who knows.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway. Maybe we'll call it quits there because we're starting to run out of time. So thanks very much, guys, for coming in. Now, if somebody wants to make contact, it's iragazzi13. That's iragazzi13 at hotmail.com. If somebody wants to make contact with iragazzi, Italian and gay group, effectively. Thanks very much for coming in.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And that's it from us for this week, Kafam.
Yes, and coming up next on Joy is a team from Global Sounds. And thanks for joining us on Orange Event tonight. As usual, we'll be back again same time, 7 p.m. next week. That's all from us.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.